This I'm keeping secrets in my head, or any space you can find. Glad to see that I could help make your life a bit easier. But have you ever thought of how I felt? You need to think about your behavior.
Another edition of Butch on Sports here. Yes, indeed. It is Sunday. Glad to be with you for another edition of Butch on Sports. Simply Butch is here, and as always, thanks for tuning in. I ain't going to hold you up too much long here. You know, it's not too much to say this particular Thanksgiving weekend that's ended today, and hopefully for better weeks ahead. This is why I feel the way I do. Deshaun Watson threw for 318 yards and 4 touchdowns as the Texans dismantled the Detroit Lions by a score of 41-25 on Thanksgiving Day. Watson was masterful during the contest, completing 68% of his passes, averaging 12.7 yards. That's a lot. Watson wasn't able to put those numbers alone. Wide receiver Will Fuller roasted the Lions cornerback, catching 6 passes for 171 yards and 2 scores. Fuller and Watson were in sync all through most of the game, but they really got on the same page in the fourth quarter, and that's when everything got slammed in the Lions' face. Yes, it did. It was a 40-yard strike to Watson, from Watson to Fuller. Then 3 minutes later, going into the fourth quarter, the Lions were in rough shape. The team trailed by 17 points. They need an offensive spark, and you hope they get back in the game. With the team on its own 34-yard line, the Lions decide to convert a 4-and-1. It's time to get the ball to Adrian Peterson, who rushed already for 55 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Lions handed the ball off to fullback Jason Carbidae, who was stuffed for no gain. I've always said, you know, the Lions would really be cool if they got a fullback and line them up every play in the game as a blocker and as a runner, but the Lions haven't did that. So why wait till this doggone game to act a fool? Well, so on and so forth. Bad game on last Sunday against the Carolina Panthers, which got, yes, shut out like the house on the side of the road. So on Saturday, the Lions' principal owner and chairman, Sheila Ford Hamp, said this in her opening statement. You have heard this early this afternoon, President and CEO Ron Woods and I met with Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia to inform them that we are moving in a different direction. On behalf of my family, I want to thank Bob and Matt for their hands-on work and dedication to the Lions organization for the past several years. They're both very fine men. We wish them nothing but the best in the rest of their careers. Obviously, that was the biggest bunch of bull I've ever heard. But obviously, one thing was for sure. The Lions and their fans did not want to go on this season looking at a bunch of bozos on the field with no coaching, no guidance from the general manager, nothing to inspire them to be a better team. And for this doggone weekend forward, it's the best news I heard in a long time. Yes, yes, yes. Now, for the remainder of the season, offensive coordinator Darrell Bevels will be our interim head coach. I don't know how that's going to go, but he got the next 5 games to prove himself. On the last straw, it was recent. like I said, the last straw was Carolina and Houston. Honestly. Now, Ford Hemp, she said in the interview on Saturday afternoon, honestly, yes, 10 days ago, we were looking at having a good chance to be playoff bound. But those games were extremely disappointing. It just seemed like the path going forward wasn't what we wanted it to be. So, yes, I thought it was a good time to make a change on Saturday. That means they got their stuff out of there by the day, boys and girls. I have said a lot this season about the Detroit Lions' inconsistency on offense as well as defense. I mainly have talked about not so much the players, but the way they're being coached. And it's like a funny farm there. They go in there and they put on their little errands for the coaching staff during practices throughout the week. And then when come time to play the game, they look like slop. Now, I can't say it no better, no worse. The team look ugly. And I sat there on Thanksgiving Day and watched this game at Ford Field. It was disgusting. And Deshaun Watson is what everyone claimed him to be, a very good quarterback. And for the Lions to have all that information in advance, they did nothing about it. Nothing. And the offense stink too, the high heaven. I mean, some of the play calling was disrespectful. Adrian Peterson was having halfway decent game in gaining yardage. And you don't run him, but the amount of runs that you give him, which is on a normal basis his last game, was he ran the ball 12 times. Is that enough for a premium back like Adrian Peterson, although he's up in his age? You got Keon Johnson there. What's going on? And the receivers. Right now, Marvin Jones is the best receiver we have. They don't even look for him. Maybe it's because he's double-teamed, which I did see on a couple occasions in the game, but not that much to kind of target the guy. Or he put in a good effort. You know, it's time to show and tell. And right now, the Lions staff, president, owner, and whoever else is right now taking charge of this team, look at what they have here. See what they have to do. My wish is they get someone who wants to be a Detroit Lion. There are many Detroit Lions who are in business, who are dealing with football throughout the league, that they can call on. Not because they're with a successful team that may backfire at them, like this particular two crews, Matt and Mr. Quinn, which, by the way, Van Noutz got him a ring, and we got nothing. Like Charlie Brown said in the Halloween extravaganza, everybody had candy and cookies. Charlie Brown get a rock. It's what the fans been getting right now, boys and girls. They begin to rock throw it at them. And they're tired. That's not no entertainment for Thanksgiving. That's no kind of way. And Matt Patricia has not won nothing on Thanksgiving Day. Bob Quinn gets rid of a good man who would work with them and maybe had a lot more better ideas than he did. Maybe that's why he got rid of him. We're talking about Mr. Caldwell. Threw him out on the street. 9-7 was just not good enough. Then you bring in your buddy from New England, and we haven't been right since. You figure it out, boys and girls. We need a connection in Michigan. Dexter Bussey, Scott Korkowski, Chris Spielman. These are all people who work in football or have businesses where they know how money gets flipped from one end to another. I got some more under my tongue. Lomas Brown. If you don't hire him for some position for a team, get them as being consultants to get some good people in here. I know Harbaugh has been mentioned. D'Antonio has not been mentioned. The young man from Ohio State who retired from there did not get mentioned. But we got to get someone who has connections with the city of Detroit and give a damn about this city in order enough to get 40 men or 45 men or 52 men on the team to get out there and shine every single weekend. And that's just plain and simple. I'm going to get off my soapbox because I'm feeling too good. And that means catastrophe for more, I don't know, comments that maybe right now we'll wait and see. Most of the quite impossible day in the NFL here. The Broncos reported it was set to play the New Orleans Saints today, Sunday, but they have no quarterback on the active roster. They petitioned the NFL brass in New York City to no avail. They had to find backups. That's their backup, Jeff Driscoll, was placed on reserve COVID-19 list on Thursday, and the rest of them will join that little group too, which is Drew Lock, Brett Rypien, and Blake Bortles. They're always ruled ineligible Saturday due to contact tracing according to NFL rules and regulations. So there. And they did get beat up pretty bad by the New Orleans Saints, 31-3. I watched the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this evening there. Tyreek Hill has got to be put in the copper for being a most valuable player. He played his rear end off in the first quarter. He caught balls, 7 catches for 203 yards and 2 touchdowns. That is crazy. Pat Mahomes was doing the deuce. But you know what? Tampa Bay came on back and made it a game. Although Kansas City did win at the last results there. It was just too much, too less time, and no first downs. We're talking about Tampa Bay. That's their third game at home in a row that they have lost. By the way, the NFL record for receiving yards in a game is 336. Set by Flipper Anderson of the Rams in 1989. Guess where they was? And they wasn't on the coast. In some other games, the Falcons beat the crap out of the Raiders 43-6 as I watched the Raiders coach apologize to everyone, the Raider Nation, for such a poor performance. Goal hit a field goal at the gun, and the 49ers had the Rams their first loss at SoFi Stadium by a score of 23-20. And by the way, boys and girls, and this is a thought that may not hurt your feelings, but on the West Coast in California, Northern California, in that county, meaning, I'm trying to find my thing here, yes, meaning the San Francisco 49ers, as they live in Santa Clara County, they got to kind of skip to the loo, my darling, because they can't play games in their own stadium due to COVID-19. That goes for Stanford. That goes for the University of California at Berkeley. No stadiums can be used for the next 3 weeks. And they ban all contact sports, required for a 14-day quarantine. Anybody traveling more than 150 miles away, that's what they want them to have when you come back into the city. You must quarantine for 14 days. It's not going to happen. By the way, the NFL Network reported that the Cardinals of Arizona will be more than happy to rent, or I guess let them use, State Farm Stadium for a possible home games for the San Francisco 49ers. That'll kind of knock you off your feet. Hey, I got something that really knocked you off your feet, boys and girls. Excuse me. Excuse me indeed. By the way, let's get this out the way first and foremost here. Kate McMahon, okay, or McNamara, I should call him, for the University of Michigan, got the slop kicked out of him in the second quarter. Thus, his neck tightened up, and thus they reinstitute Joe Milton. And the Wolverines just scored just 10 second half points when they were trailing in the first half. 27-17 was the loss against Penn State, who had not won a game this year. Michigan fell to 2-4. That ought to be up-ranking. But here's a nice little shocker for you. Michigan State University wins a game. They beat the crap out of 13th-ranked Northwestern. Yes, they did. They beat them up 29-20. And I would say that is a huge upset. And Rocky Lombardo, or Lombardi, he played a doggone significant game in the show there. Matt Coughlin kicked a 49-yard field goal with a 3:35 left. And Michigan State held on for their lives. So that would be a good deal in general. But Michigan State won and Michigan lost. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with Michigan, and I definitely had second thoughts about Michigan State. But again, they beat up a 13th-ranked team. That Northwestern is very good, doing very well. They're going to lead off with that playoff, but now it's sticky in, yes, the Big Ten Conference as far as who's going to represent in Indianapolis, Indiana. Here's a joker for you. Derek Mason, he's the coach of Vanderbilt. His time has come to an end. The athletic director, Candace Story Lee, announced Sunday that the university has parted ways with Mason, who was in the seventh season as the head coach of the Commodores. The 2020 season has been a struggle for Vanderbilt. They have not won a game. They are 0-8, and they had a 41-0 loss against Missouri on Saturday. Yes, Mason ended his head coaching run at Vandy with a 27-55 overall record. That's pretty doggone bad. He is 10-46 in the SEC, and Buddy had two bowl appearances. Now, also this past Saturday, before this guy got fired on Sunday, was the debut of Vanderbilt's Sarah Fuller, who walked in the fame of college football history. She was on the soccer team for Vanderbilt, but by golly, they needed a kicker, and they turned to her. She became the first woman to play in a Power 5 conference football game. As she kicked off the ball in the second half, a squib kick, and that's what the coach wanted, and yes, did her job. She didn't get to kick an extra point. She didn't get on the field to kick a field goal because Vanderbilt had no score, or probably didn't have no billing for a score. By the way, Sarah Fuller wants to stay around as long as they want her. She wants to stay on the team for the rest of the year. And I think that would be fair. And if she studies hard and get good doggone coaching from some of the people who are going to be very supportive of it, which right now, everything's on the spotlight, Ms. Fuller should be okay in kicking the ball. Maybe a particular extra point if Vanderbilt score a touchdown or do something, or a field goal. She said that she's going to look at a lot of film. A lot of film from kickers in the past in the NFL to see if she can smooth her style of kicking and be very, very consistent when she gets opportunity to kick a ball. I don't know what the school say here, but something had to do with Mr. Mason's decision to let Ms. Fuller on the team. Now, the reason they was lacking a kicker is because COVID-19, of course, there. He did the best thing in the opportunity with even, and you can't sign somebody right off the, like a taxi squad, you know, for college football, although there are a lot of kids who they got promissory notes that they can come on in at a certain time. But that don't happen in college football where you can just go off the street and pull somebody off. And this guy did the best opportunity he can. And forbid, Ms. Fuller is the recipient of it, and I'm happy to see that. But, you know, for what he had to work for and work with, I know he wasn't a very good team, but they picked Sunday to kick him out in the street. The guy who gave this young lady an opportunity is not with the team no more at Vanderbilt. So there. By the way, on a side note there, there were 20 Division I games that were canceled due to COVID-19. The University of Michigan, the University of Detroit Mercy, Department of Athletics is in deep mourning, learning that former player, longtime baseball coach, and former Major League Baseball player Bob Miller has passed away on Saturday night due to complications. They say he died from natural causes. We give our condolences to the University of Detroit in the passing from their family member. Finally, the Detroit Pistons have done a wholesale move, and I guess when you're doing all of that, it's going to get noticed. Detroit Pistons went after Wayne Ellington, who agreed with a one-year, $2.6 million deal for the Pistons. And his agent, Mark Bartlestein, confirmed it with the Free Press, ESPN, and some other conglomerates as well for this particular signing. This is Ellington's second stint with the Detroit Pistons as he signed a franchise with the franchise in 2019's trade deadline. In 28 games, Ellington averaged 27.3 minutes per game. He hit 37.3 of his three-pointers. And he's a very good shooter behind the arc. The Pistons need that much-needed lift in that area. So I don't know what they're going to do with him. And only to make room for Ellington, they just, when the news came about, the Pistons waived Dewayne Desmond, who they traded for last week. Isn't that something, boys and girls? Isn't that something? Again, you should be celebrating with an umbrella or going out there dancing in the underwear outside. Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia are gone from the Detroit Lions. What they do from here, we do not know. But we know one thing for sure. We can't blame them anymore. No, we can't. And with that, boys and girls, that is this particular episode of Butcher on Sports. Butcher on Sports is a presentation of Oh My Darling Productions. Check Butcher on Sports on Facebook there. Yes, you can. Butcher on Sports on Facebook. Also, you can go to Podomatic.com. Type in SimpleButchertoo.podomatic.com. You can also go to TheGameSportsShow.com and TheGameSportsShow.podbean.com for all the action of Butcher on Sports and other shows in the family of the Game Sports Show or the Game or whatever. And of course, you can join me on Monday along with Scott Mason, EJ Russell, Jay McKay on the Game Sports Show. That's from 6 to 8, ESPN 1400. Yes. Tomorrow, I'm quite sure we're going to have a lot to say about the Lions, worse than what I had to say tonight on this show. So, hey, join us. And I promise you, this week, I'm going to find a solution where you can get to hear the show, or as many of you say, you want to hear me on the show, we'll make arrangements for that starting in the middle of this week of the show being played on, 1400 years, Okay. Hey, I'm out of here. Have a great Sunday. Some of you got to go back to work, and maybe on Tuesday we might get a snow day. Who knows?